She's there with her brother, David. Isabel and David have lived together virtually all their lives because neither of them married. And so it's very tough for David at the moment. He's missing Isabel hugely. And so I do appreciate those that have been praying for David as well as for Jeanette. And I'll share more about Jeanette later on. Just some very, very good news. David, he's from Zaire, from the Congo, and his father, Reuben. We've been trying for 18 months to get a visa for him to come to Vancouver and to have eye surgery, and for that, and the doctor doing that is doing it for free. But it's been very, very difficult. But this week, in fact, yesterday I got an email to say that the Canadian High Commission in Kenya have sent to them, they've not received it yet, but it's sent both visa and passports for them to come here. So there's been a lot of prayer going for that to happen. It's been quite stressful for me because it kept coming back. They wanted a bit more information. Never telling you all the information that they wanted. And that was both to do with the United Nations Refugee Service in Burundi, as well as our own Canadian High Commission. But finally, it's on its way. So we don't know exactly when they will be here, because Christmas time, it may be that Dr. Thomas would prefer them to come after Christmas than before Christmas. But God bless him for his graciousness in doing it. And by the way, that's a huge expense that he is not taking one dime for. So we're grateful to God for that. And we're going to sing a song this morning. When I was driving last night, first of all, I got into bed last night, and the message that I had for this morning was well prepared. I can tell you, I know it's well prepared because I've preached it several times, and preached it in Burundi. And so I thought, yes, this was right for today. But I prayed, I said, Lord, if you want to change that, then, you're in charge, and I'm willing, I'm open to hear from you. And so I was driving along 41st this morning coming here, and as I'm driving along, going past St. Margaret's Church, it was right at that spot, I felt the Lord say to me, and I had some thoughts going on in my mind from the Word of God, I felt the Lord say, that is what you ought to share this morning. So this is, it's not a totally baked cake. It may be a half-baked one. And some of those can taste awful. I'm just praying that the Lord will help me in that. But we're going to sing. The passage I've got is from Psalm 100. And it's Shout Joyfully Unto the Lord. So David, and if you would like to put, thanks, that's lovely. Is my head in the way for you watching there? I mean, that I'm quite happy to stand over there. That's the problem with being tall. We don't have any sound on the keyboard. There we do. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 100. And then after that, to Genesis 29, but Psalm 100, because that's what we've just been singing. You know, yesterday I was doing a praise seminar at Langley, and one of the things I've noticed is so often when we sing, we don't get it right. We shut our eyes when we're singing to one another, and then shut our eyes when we're praising the Lord. First of all, Jesus didn't always shut his eyes. In fact, I don't know that there's any record of Jesus shutting his eyes when talking to his Heavenly Father. It does say, and Jesus lifted his eyes. And there's something about, you know, one of the first things. In fact, let me ask you this question. What was the first thing that happened after Adam and Eve sinned? Can anyone have a guess at that? Their eyes were opened. All right, tell me more.
Shame.
Now, you know what? You're in good lot here. They were terrible yesterday.
It took a long time to drag it out, but never mind. But there's another word, shame, but there's another word. Sorry?
They hid.
No, that's a bit later. They knew they were naked. So what was that? Revealing? Self-consciousness. Self-awareness. Self-awareness was part of the curse, a result of the curse. And we get, you know, I told them about the seven dwarfs, Snow White and the seven dwarfs. Do you know the first one was called bashful? Bashful, that's being self-conscious, not free to smile. Actually, the Brits are being quite, really, the worst at it. A waitress will come up with their head down and have their little pad they're going to write down, and their heads are down. Now, it's changing, but when I came here, one of the great surprises and blessings was when a waitress came to you at the restaurant, they smiled at you. And they said, "How are you doing?" Before they said, "What do you want?" I was impressed with that. Very impressed. They weren't bashful. But sometimes in our praising of that, we are inhibited. There are 12 things. We're not going to cover each one because I want to go to Genesis 29. But there are 12 things here. In fact, there are 13 things in this Psalm 100. And let's read it here. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Now, you've got more than 13 there, but basically, this is calling for a sort of coming into His presence. You know, Her Majesty the Queen, every year there's a royal command performance. And there are no sad faces. There's not meant to be any sad faces. In fact, royalty in years went by, they had jesters, and the jesters were there to make them happy or make them laugh. And you know what? We don't need jesters. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the joy of the Lord. We have something that comes from the inside, not something that goes to our mind and is clever and funny, but something which is it's irrepressible. It flows out of the innermost being. And that's what the psalmist is calling for here, is to shout joyfully, and he's calling on all the earth to do that. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, it's just a little thing about Jeanette. I noticed last Sunday, it was 4 o'clock, the phone rang, and it was Davy, her brother, telling me that his sister Isabel had passed away. And Jeanette was upstairs. I went upstairs to her and I told her. She actually didn't believe it was Isabel. She said, "You mean Davy?" I said, no, because Davy has been quite ill with heart condition. And I said, "No, honey, it's Isabel." And I was more emotional about it, I think, than Jeanette was. I think Jeanette was so shocked, maybe that was it. But and I was feeling for her. So I went off into the other room, and it was interesting. Within about 5 minutes, Jeanette was singing. She was singing to the Lord. She was singing praises to the Lord. I'll touch on that later. You know... Jeanette got to the airport on Thursday to fly to England, and up to Scotland. And I saw her off at the airport, and so she went through, waved goodbye to each other. When she got the other side, and she was walking about an hour and a half early to get to the gate, she wanted to get to the gate. So
early. And so I said, off she goes. And she told me on the phone next day that here was this lady, and she came from Sri Lanka. And she's very distressed. She's got papers in her hand, and she doesn't know where she's to go or what to do. And so Jeanette came alongside her and found out that she didn't know much English and she didn't understand these papers. And she showed, you know, the boarding pass, and Jeanette just said, "You come with me." And Jeanette took her to there, and she sat with her for until they boarded that plane. But when she was on the plane, she needed to go to the little room at the back. And so she got up and she's walking down there. Here is a lady on her face, lying there. And Jeanette knelt beside her and then discovered that she was throwing up. Now, Jeanette does not like that at all. I can tell you, that's almost, you know, Jeanette sometimes, she uses words like "that's the most" or "always" or "never." And I've learned with ladies, don't always take that as accurate. But she would say this one, "this is one of the worst things for me, someone throwing up." And so here, the fact she knelt there, the first thing she did anyhow, she went around and she got someone to help, one of the flight attendants there. And it was just interesting, in that one journey, she was serving the Lord with gladness. God's called us to serve the Lord with gladness, to come before Him with singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. Interestingly, everything that I read there, it's God. It's His sheep, it's His pasture, it's to the Lord, it's serving the Lord, it's coming before Him. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us. We are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. We enter His gates. That's a picture from the Old Testament, from the tabernacle. To get into the courts, you had to come through a gate. And so that they take that, the picture of the psalmist is saying, enter His gates, into His courts. And with praise. And I want to ask ourselves a question. How did we come here this morning? This building isn't the courts. You understand? This is the courts. The people of God. We are the house of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, corporately and individually. How did we come here this morning? Did we come joyfully? Did we come with smiles on our faces? I don't mean that plastic one. I mean the one that actually flows out of the innermost being, which is irrepressible. Is it a joy to meet your brothers and sisters and to enjoy them? My mum had a habit, and there are some people that are like, there's some here in the congregation who do this, and I love it. In fact, I could pick a few names, but I better not. But my mum, when you met her, she would say, "Hello." It was a little laugh before she said hello. I don't know about you, but I meet people, and before, when I meet Art and Margaret, but Art, this is the truth. When I look at Art, I laugh. And it's got nothing to do with how he looks. It has everything to do with who he is. And it's the same with Ron and I. It's true, isn't it, Art? He's as bad as me. It's like an infection. It's an infectious smile and love. It's a pleasure to be together in the courts of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, and to enter His gates with praise and come before His presence with singing. For the Lord is good. That's the only reason, really. He's good. He's good in everything. He's good in His creation. So when you look, have you ever said this to the Lord? Looked at some of His creation. Look at the Grouse Mountain and when the snow is on there and the sun is catching. Have you ever said, "Well done, Lord. Well done. You did a good job"? Because He said that. He made all these wonderful. He looked at it and He said, that's good. And then when He came to us, that just was the last bit. And it included with all of it, He says, that's very good. Very good.
That's how God sees it. And when we look with his eyes and we see all his creation, we look at the twins here this morning. There's I love Daniel and, forgive me, Sarah, your little baby. Oh, have you ever seen that little baby? The sweetest little face. I gave her a cuddle the other day and I looked in her face. You have to smile because he smiles. Beautiful. God did. We say, oh, you did a good job, Daniel and Sarah. Well, that is true. They were involved, but actually it's a gift from God. A gift from God. And you look in that little face and you could say, well done, Lord. Well done. There's a lovely hymn that says, my Jesus has done all things well. And so praise and thanksgiving, a grateful heart and serving the Lord with gladness. We are called to live in that realm, in that atmosphere all the time. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You say that's impossible. Well, it's a choice. And I want to take you, if you would please, to Genesis 29. It's the story of Jacob and Laban. Jacob had diddled his brother out of his birthright, and his brother foolishly had sold him his birthright for just some porridge. What an awful error that was. And Jacob runs for his life because he knows his brother wants to kill him. And I think his brother would have done at that time. And he meets Rachel one day. And to cut a long story short, he's introduced to Laban and finds out, well, that's his family. Laban is maybe an uncle or something like that. He's certainly a relative. And Jacob... In fact, he fell in love. I think it was like Jeanette and I. When I first met Jeanette, it was instant. I said, Eureka, I have found it. One look. And Jacob looked at Rachel and he said, this is the amplified version, Eureka, I have found it. And he fell in love with her. In fact, he was besotted with her. And so Laban was out for a good deal here. And he said, I'll tell you what. You can have Rachel on this condition. You work 7 years for me. And so Jacob said, well, yeah, that sounds a good deal. And so he did. He served 7 years. And it was, in fact, it says like it was like nothing. 7 years just, there was no, he didn't drag out. I'll tell you what, Jeanette and I were courting for 12 months. But I was down in London and she was up in Scotland. We did visit one another. But you know, it seemed to drag out for so long. Jacob, it says, it was like 7 years just vanished because he was so in love. She was worth waiting for. And then there came the night of the wedding, and or the wedding, yeah, it would be in the evening in the East. And the custom was for the father of the bride not to lead her down the aisle like we would have here, but to lead her to the bridal, in quotes, chamber, the bedroom. And we all know there was no electricity around in those days. We know that they might have had a little drop of wine at the wedding. And all we do know is that it was pretty dark. And so here comes the bride, so-called. And the following morning, and by the way, it says of Leah, and I want to say that we have a Leah here. And your name, it says of her that she had weak eyes. Ah, Leah's got beautiful eyes, but that's another matter. But it says Leah had weak eyes. Whether that was that they were cross-eyed, wish she was cross-eyed or something like that, we don't know. We only know that they were weak eyes. When he woke up in the morning and he looked, he had the most awful shock because two eyes there were going in opposite directions, possibly. But the big thing was it wasn't Leah. It wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. And again, the amplified version, Jacob thought, you dirty rat, you rat, you've deceived me. Look who's talking. Jacob, who deceived his father and deceived and got the birthright out of his brother, here he is looking at Laban and saying, "You deceive me." What he said, you know, it's not our custom for you to have the second daughter. The first one to be married is the one that you've got. He said, "I tell you what." He said, "You work for another 7 years, and you can receive Rachel next week, 7 days later." And so that was he thought, "Well, all right, I'll do that." But you know what? His heart was for Rachel, not for Leah. And it says here in chapter 29 and verse 31, "Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." Here's a woman who is unloved, married to a man who really his only interest was a sexual relationship. And that did happen, but he didn't love her. "And Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben. For she said, 'Because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me.'" But you know what? He didn't. He didn't love her. "And she conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also.' So the Lord has seen and he has heard." Maybe there was talk about it around as well. I don't know. "And so she named him Simeon. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons.' Therefore he was named Levi." Have you noticed this? Everything is her problem, her pain, her rejection, her not being loved, not being attached to her husband. It was a dreadful season. You'd have to say this is 4 or 5 years of living a rejected life, an unloved life, really an unwanted life, a cheated life. Because Laban cheated her as well as cheating Jacob. She was obliged to do as her father said. Great pain in this woman's life. And then we come to this, "And she conceived again and bore a son and said, 'This time I will praise the Lord.'" She made a choice in the middle of her pain, her rejection, her suffering, her being unloved. And she said, "This time I will praise the Lord for this child." See, she saw in those children something that had something selfish in her. They were an answer, she thought, for her husband to love her husband to be attached to her. This time now, she has a child and she looks into that child's face and she looks up and she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Something broke in her. She named him Judah. You know, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Isn't that interesting? And all that Joseph went through, remember? Sold by his brothers into Egypt as a slave, falsely accused by Potiphar. Forgotten by the two men that he interpreted their dreams, refused to walk out of prison when he became the prison governor. He could have done. And when eventually it was all disclosed and the brothers come to Egypt and he now is in charge of the whole of Egypt, that's what the scriptures say.
In fact, the scriptures say Pharaoh was a son. He was a father to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh was looking up to this man. His brothers came in, no revenge, there's starvation, there's a famine in the land, and he listens to them, and eventually he discloses himself to them. They think he's going to kill them. They're very afraid. And he said, don't be afraid. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that life might be preserved. Who was one of those whose life was preserved? Judah. So you have two people in the life of Judah. One was his mother, one was his brother, who actually, out of all that, we are sitting here this morning because there's a lion of the tribe of Judah. There's one who hung on that cross for us to pay this penalty of our sin. We wouldn't be here unless it had been for Joseph and for Leah in her pain. Now I want to take this little phrase, this time. How have we come here this morning? Is there pain here? Are any of you feeling rejected? Are there wives here this morning and you feel, you know, I don't know that my husband really loves me? Maybe a husband who feels that way. Maybe you could be in pain because your children seem to have rejected you. They've gone off, they've left your God, they've gone off after other gods, maybe of their own making. And maybe there are financial difficulties this morning. Losing a job, rejected at work, or despised at work. Depression. Disappointment. This time, as you think about those things, I think the Lord would want you to say, this time in my pain, my rejection, feeling unloved, unwanted, this time I will praise the Lord. It's a choice. That's my message to you this morning. This time. Jeanette, last Sunday at 4 o'clock, heard the news. She chose to say, this time I will praise the Lord. I know Margaret's gone through great pain and also great patience and love and care for Pastor Bob. And I'm certain, Margaret, that you've had to keep saying, this time, John the same, this time, I will praise the Lord. You know what? Praising the Lord sustains you. Thankfulness, if ever we could get it into our hearts. Ron is on a journey now in a message about being grateful. And gratitude, talks about in the last days, people will be ungrateful. Things are expected today. You know, there's one of the things that's happened to me is the Lord's got me involved in Quebec and Northern Ontario with French speaking Canadians, and I love it. There's one fellow there, he's a police officer, and I don't know how long he's been in the police, but it came to him a family. They were in great need. I'm thinking about what you read out this morning there, Linda, as well in this. And so it may happen there in Nicaragua. It's another thing in Canada to do this, to take people into your home. Here's this police officer with his wife. And here's this family, husband and wife, three children, living in a broken-down, leaky camper. No electricity, no running water. Just dreadful conditions. He comes to this police officer who he knows and he says, can you help me? He talks to his wife and they take this family into their home. Husband, wife, three children. They get so much joy out of it.
Because there's joy in this. If you're doing it unto the Lord, serving the Lord with gladness. Every time we serve people, we are serving the Lord. What do you mean, you may say, a cup of water? Well, when you gave that cup of water in my name, you gave it to me. You were serving me. Those you visited in prison, actually, you were visiting me. Unto the Lord, when we do it unto people, in the name of the Lord. So they come into his home, to their home, and wouldn't you know it, there's another couple that, we know, this, the good news gets around. And this other couple, they've heard about what they've done. So they had to make a decision. They went to the bank and they said, look, is any chance, their house was already mortgaged, by the way. Is there any chance we could buy another house? What we want to do, we would like to buy a sort of a condominium, a smaller one for ourselves. And this is the reason. So they told them the reason. So there's two families, five children. And so the bank said, we could go along with that. And whatever got into the bank manager, he said these words to them. He said, I think we could go up to six houses. They were already thinking about that. Well, I want to tell you, they're on their eighth house now. Eighth house. People that were homeless or in a very difficult situation. And here they're living. Their last house had a sitting tenant in it. And normally when you go in and you buy a house with a sitting tenant, what's the first thing you do? Raise the rent. They halved it. You think, those people must have thought, what on earth is going on here? Why are you doing this? Well, they have to tell them, don't they? Because this is how Jesus lives. This is what Jesus is like. He loves the poor. He cares for the Lord. And when you serve people with a heart for the Lord, you're serving the Lord. And he puts the gladness, he puts a song in your mouth, even praise unto your God. And I want to tell you the sweetest song that you'll ever know and that God ever hears is the song in the night. The song in the night. When it's dark, when it's difficult, when it's a struggle, when you don't know what the next day is going to bring forth, and you lift your heart to the Lord and make a choice and say, this time I will praise the Lord. He gives you a song. Let me pray for you. Father, you know every one of our hearts here today. You know where there's sadness. You know where there is doubt. You know where there's fear. You know where there is uncertainty about the future. You know the things that have been spoken which have been spiteful and have penetrated the soul of people. There's nothing that's hidden from you. You see the sparrow fall and you notice it. The very hairs of our head are numbered. And Jesus said, take no thought. Take no thought. But instead say, in this I will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And Father, we know this kingdom that we're to seek is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Father, come to us now by your Spirit. Let this be a moment of choice today. And Lord, if it's not a category that I have covered, but some are sitting here and saying, that's me. That's it. I'm down. I'm under a weight. Lord, would you come to them? And by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, draw them into a place and say, this time I will praise the Lord. I'd like to pray for you individually in the sense of you making a choice. We're going to sing the song again which we had that David led us in, serving the Lord with gladness, come before him, joyfully sing. And I'm going to give an opportunity for, first of all, when we sing it, for those who are saying, this time. You know, no, it's, we, that little phrase, you know, how are you doing today? Well, it's one of those days. No. We're making a choice. It's not one of those days. It's going to be one of his days. Going through a difficult time. Making a choice. This time, I will praise the Lord. And so those who want to respond, I want to pray over you, and then all of us will join in singing it together. All right, David, thank you.